Good morning. And it is a beautiful morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Just share a little bit and some Thanksgiving. Friday night, we had a lock-in here at church for the young people. And I want to say thank you to Talisa and to Eric, to Rob and Renee, who showed up to help, and those who were here. It was a long night, and it was an exhausting night. I think we had 18 young people here for the evening, which was really a blessing. But the real blessing came about 6 o'clock Saturday morning, or 5 o'clock. Which was it, T?
Five?
Okay. As we shared the Billy Graham presentation, made an invitation to the young people, and we had five young people who had never made a decision. They came and they gave their life to Jesus. And I say it's the beginning and not the end, because the beginning starts now with keeping them close to Christ. The beginning is, how do we move them from new believers to disciples, to those who are doing ministry themselves? Last week, I knew it was going to be a busy week. I knew it was going to be a crazy week, and had no idea how crazy it was going to get. Tuesday night, we had a webinar online with Charlotte, North Carolina, and talking with Billy Graham Association, and they anticipated that with the My Hope program and everything that was going to be going on there, they anticipated an influx of people and needing counselors online that they just didn't have it covered. So they called to the chaplains and said, "Will you be online? Will you do this? Will you schedule these hours?" And I said, "Yes, I would," and I did. And I have to tell you something, folks. There was a point, and I think I'm the only one right now that knows this, there was a point where there was one decision every 20 seconds being made in this nation for Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people. 25,000 plus churches reaching out, presenting Christ to see a difference in this country. We're not done. We're not done. And I know that it's been announced that tonight we're having a potluck, we're having a meal. I hope you come back. I pray that you come back. I pray that this is a priority for you. You know, it's not a heavy expectation to come and bring a dish to pass and sit down and eat. We have some wonderful steaks that are going to be cooked on the grill and put on a bun or eat them the way they are. But the prime ribeye, and we look forward to this. We look forward to sharing this with you, and we look forward to sharing it with your friends. Who would not invite their friend to come eat a steak or a steak sandwich? And all the other stuff that goes with it. But this evening, following the meal, we're going to come in, we're going to sit down, and we're going to watch the presentation that was put out by the Graham Association, and we're going to give you, we're going to give your friends the opportunity to make the most important decision in their life and to begin to develop the most important relationship they could possibly have. That is a relationship with Jesus Christ. We walk around and we spend our life making relationships and getting to know people, but we forget that the most important one we can have is that relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, if we build our relationship with Jesus Christ, if that's where we begin and that is our source, then all of the other relationships begin to fall in line, because we're where God wants us to be. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save what was lost." That's his message to us. This morning, my message is twofold. It's not a complicated message. It's not a deep exegetical study, but it's just a basic message that I hope makes you squirm in your seat. I hope as you hear this message that God convicts your heart in a powerful way to say either you have not made this decision or you have made this decision and you're not living it. I hope and I pray that you are open enough and honest enough with God to say, I'm not where I should be. I'm not doing what I should be doing. I am just kind of coasting along. Two areas. One is salvation and what that means. And the other is maybe I haven't seen one of those in years. Donna, hold it up, will you? Come in. How many of you have seen these before? Okay, all right. The old churches had everybody. They'd have those in the pews, and you'd see the lady sitting there constantly fanning like this. And I don't know. I just saw it and thought, wow. No, I'm not easily distracted. It's serious stuff when we talk about Jesus. I want to tell you something. We study the Bible, and when Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save what was lost, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis to really understand what Jesus was saying. Did you ever think about that? What was lost? And what was lost goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden where God walked with man in the garden. Can you imagine the communion that took place there and the communication and the sharing? God was with man. He knew man. He saw man. Man saw God. And they were together. And life was good. There was no sin. There was no separation. There was no need to send a Savior because life existed in the garden very well. Man and God walking together. You know that's not happened since? It's not happened since. And Jesus said, I have come so that this might change. It was lost. It disappeared in the garden as sin came into the world. And one of the things that Satan does, one of his greatest things, is he plants in our mind this thought that is not real. He plants in our mind this concept that it didn't happen. And it's the greatest tool he uses to deceive us. Satan allows us to believe in heaven, because we like heaven, but he wants us to not believe in hell. He wants us to not believe that there's an answer to the consequences of life. He wants us to believe that we can go on and we can do whatever we want to do and not stand accountable for it. And yet, as tested as this has been, as proven as God has been, people still say, I don't believe it. And there's fact after fact after fact after fact that says Jesus is who he was and that he walked with man here on earth, but it's not the same as when it was back in the garden because sin was in the world. Jesus said, and I did this for you, I think, last week, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Folks, here's the question, and that's Revelation 3:20. What did Jesus say that he would do if you asked him into your life? Come in. What do we say? I don't know how many times in my office this morning the door was closed and I heard, and I said the same thing every time, come in. And that's what Jesus is saying to those that open the door. And He comes in if we ask Him into our lives. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what your past has been. He doesn't care how many things you've done that are bad. He doesn't care the life that would condemn you to hell. He says, I love you. I will come in and I'll pour my love and my blessings on you, and you will have eternal life. And all you have to do is open the door to your heart. I will come in. I love you. You ever feel unloved by somebody? That's a terrible feeling. It's a horrible feeling. Unloved? Oh, I may be with them and I may know them, but I just don't feel loved. What an emptiness. But Jesus said, I love you. And we're going to hear about that. And Jesus prepared the way so that all who believe can come to Him. Listen, in games when I was a kid, we played these games, and a lot of the time, well, we did it even the other night. We played a game upstairs, and we practiced it. It's called the rhythm game, and it got real complicated. I should try it with you. I want you to try to keep beat when take your hands. I want to make sure everybody's awake this morning. Take your hands, and I'm going to set a rhythm, and I want you to keep this rhythm with me, okay? It's real simple. Boom, boom, click, click. Can everybody do that? All right. Do, do, click, click. Do, do, click, click. Keep up. One, two, three, four. Keep up. All right. Now, what we did while we're doing this and keeping in rhythm, oh, some of you aren't doing it. Come on now. Keep them going. We would have everybody have a number. And what you had to do is while all you guys falling behind, while everybody had a number, you would say your number first, and then you'd say their number, and then they had to rip off another number for somebody else, all in rhythm. Okay, so I'm number one, and Talisa's number two, and I'm going to say like this. Okay, one, two, all right, stop. You'd be surprised how, because what happens next is Talisa then has to say her number and somebody else's number. All right, and it goes on. It's a crazy game. But one of the things we did as we were starting that game is a lot of people messed up right off the bat. So we did a do-over. You're not out of the game. We did a do-over. Listen, this is what Jesus does for you. He gives you a do-over. He looks at your life and He sees the life that you've lived, and He sees the things that you've done, and He's seen the stuff that is missing in your life. And He says, I'll give you a do-over. You can start fresh, a new page, a new clean slate. And no matter what you've done, no matter how you feel that I'm not there, how you feel about me, I'm here for you. I love you. And you get a do-over. And we all like do-overs. It gives us a chance to get back in the game. It's a do-over. The Bible says, yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. That's John 1:12. Do you hear that? So what happens when you've received Him? I became one of God's. Wow, you got the first one easier than the second one. When I received Jesus, I became one of God's what? Children. Thank you. Yes, you were right, Mallory. You just didn't say it loud enough. We become one of His children. You ever think of that? As I'm looking at Kelly over here, what a sweetheart. And you want to understand what a child is? Take a look at Kelly. Take a look at Eli. Look at these little babies and these little children who are just starting. The Bible says that we become like little children. And God looks at us and He nurtures us and He cares for us and He provides for us. And all we have to do is believe. Why? Because God loves us. I didn't earn His love. I certainly didn't deserve His love. But yet, He decided that He would love me. How can that happen? I've been a stinker. I've done things I shouldn't have done, and yet He loved me, even while I was doing those things. And He said, I forgive you. You see, we go on in Scripture and it says this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now that you believe in Jesus Christ and you ask Him into your life to forgive your sins, what can you be certain of? What do you have? It starts with an E. Thank you. Wow. Are we going to have to go back to this again? Is that what it takes? Eternal life. Eternal life. The Bible says that for those who believe, and this blows people's mind when I tell them this, we do not taste death. What? If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have received Him as Savior and Lord, if He is in your life and you're trying to follow Him, and we know you're not perfect, but He loves you and He died for you and you claim that and you receive Him as Savior and Lord, we don't taste death. Because the Bible says that for the Christian, we will pass from life unto life. And that's life eternal. God loves you, and He doesn't want you to taste death. You know why? Because Jesus did it for you. He hung on the cross, and for 6 hours, hanging on the cross in the darkness of the moment, He was doing battle. And He was doing battle for you. He was doing battle for your sin. He died so that you don't have to. He died so that you could be forgiven. He died so that you could have eternal life. And death is His separation from God. And Jesus, for those hours on the cross, was separated from the Heavenly Father. And He was doing battle with Satan. And it was a fight for your souls. It was a fight for my soul. It was a fight for this church. It was a fight for a nation. It was a fight for America. It was a fight for a world. So that all sin might be forgiven. Why? Because He loves you. And He doesn't want you to taste the separation from God, which is called death. He loves you. Don't get me wrong. The day will come when this shell falls to the ground. But I want you to know something. Before this shell hits the ground, I'll be with God. Because the Bible teaches to be absent in body is to be present with God. It all happens at once. It's very quick. It's very fast. And in that moment that you are gathered to Him, everything that you've heard and all that you know, you see the truth in it. Like that. I shared with the young people the other day that they have a problem. And the problem they have is this. When you are young, death means nothing. When you are young, eternity doesn't really mean anything. Because when you are young, you're immortal. At least you feel that way. You feel like death and dying, that's for those old people. You know, the ones that are 30 plus. But it doesn't apply to you. And so a lot of the time, young people are living life just like death means nothing. And all I can say to that is I've buried way too many young people. who didn't believe that it applied to them. How do you know you're saved? Well, God said it. And he said it in his word, the Bible. How do you know you're a child of God? Each one of you says, because I believe it. And it's in my heart. How do you know you have eternal life? I know because I believe what the Bible says, and that settles it. If you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning and this sermon is very foreign and alien to you, and it's maybe hard to understand, you have an opportunity today to turn your life around. You have an opportunity today to receive Christ and to ask him into your life and to be changed. And he takes you just the way you are. For some, you made a decision a long time ago for Jesus Christ. For some, you said, I am coming to you, Lord. I receive you as Savior and Lord. And there was a time of rejoicing in that, and there was a time of joy in that. But over time, what you have done is you have once again begun to focus on yourself and be focused on your needs and be focused on just this world. And you've really turned your back on God. You forgot the promises you made. See, there really is no such thing as an idle Christian. One that just sits idle and watches. We have been called to ministry. We have been called to serve. And as we receive Jesus Christ, he uses us. And he uses us all in different ways. I am so thankful for David as he comes in and cleans the church and takes care of that. And Roger who comes and mows the grass and different ones who do different things for the youth leaders and for the Sunday school teacher and the things that are done. God uses you in different ways. But folks, understand this. He wants to use you. He's given you gifts. He's given you abilities. And he wants you to use them for his glory, for the building of his kingdom. But we forgot. And we've turned our back. Jesus says this. If we confess our sins, and yes, Christian, we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's 1 John 1:9. What must we do to be forgiven? Confess. I take that a little step further. Because I see so many people who are focused on themselves. I see so many people who are so full of themselves and full of their own pride, that they're not willing to step out of their own body and look and see who they are and see how they have failed God because they've placed more importance on them than on God. If we are going to confess our sins, we have to be really honest. We have to, because God is honest. And he knows the sin, and he sees the sin, and he's waiting for us to just make that decision for him. It's a lot easier to point our fingers at other people. It's a lot easier to say, this person, this person, this person, and this person, well, they did this, 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 and this, and they're not living the life. And you know what? You're not looking at yourself. It doesn't matter to you what that other person does. That doesn't matter to your salvation. Your salvation is based on your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. And if that other person is a terrible person and they're sinning and they're doing things that God doesn't want them to do, that doesn't pertain to you. You need to develop your relationship. And until you are walking in perfection with a God that loves you and cares for you, don't be pointing the finger. How can you? And we do it over and over and over again. People come and knock on the door, and Pastor, can I come in? And yeah, come on in. I need to tell you about so-and-so. No, you need to tell me about you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Tattletale. Do you think I don't know what's going on? But I'm concerned about your relationship. I'm concerned about your walk with Jesus. I'm concerned about how you're living your daily life. And you should be too, because God is. Did you know every morning when you wake up, Jesus is there? Every night when you go to sleep, Jesus is there. Every time you cuss, every time you swear, every time you drink, every time you do this or do that, or you get angry, you call names, you point fingers, Jesus is there, and he sees it, and he knows that, and he's not happy. Wow, we can be a judgmental people. And we forget that the Bible says, by the same measure in which we judge others, we also shall be judged. And that's not a man saying that. That is God saying that. And when you point your fingers and when you accuse and when you call names and when you do all of this stuff that the Christians do, we forget that. Would you like to be judged the same way you're judging others? Are we squirming yet? I hope so. Because I'll tell you what, there's nobody in here that's perfect, including myself. If we are going to confess our sins, let it go. If we are going to confess our sins, we got to be honest enough to open up to God and realize they're there. And quit worrying about everybody else's. Got to deal with them. It's not your job. Another passage says, judge not. Unless you want to be judged yourself. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. They're doing this, and this is terrible, and this is horrible. And then, what about you? What about you? God says that if we'll confess our sins, that he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess, that means to agree with God. To say, you know, Lord, I've lied, I've cheated, I've been unkind, I've lost my temper. You know what, just for a moment, I'm going to slow down. Close your eyes. No, I'm not ending the service just yet, but I want to give you a chance to do something. I want you to close your eyes. And right now, I want you to be very, very specific with God. And I'd like for you to just silently confess your sins to him. Can you do that? Here I stand before you, Lord, a sinner, condemned by my sins, ruined by my sins. See, he already knows what they are, and he's just been waiting for you to bring them to him so he can work with them. You can open your eyes. Folks, the Bible says that we are to surrender our life to God's control. Romans 6:13 says, "Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin, but rather offer yourselves to God." Walking with Christ means that we should offer ourselves to Him. It's that simple. We are dead to the old self, but we are new in Christ. Ask for His strength daily. Stay on the pathway that the Bible leads. And remember this, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What does that mean? That means that if I have this sin, I can get rid of it through Christ who gives me strength. If I'm struggling with smoking, through Christ, I can get rid of it. If I'm struggling with lying, through Christ, I can get rid of it. If I'm struggling with temper and anger and those kind of issues, through Christ, I can get rid of it, because He gives me the strength to overcome. Why? Because He loves you. What can you do with God's help? All things. And what is God doing in us? He strengthens us. Why? Folks, it's simple. Because He loves you. And He wants the best for you. He doesn't want your life to be a mess and be complicated and tied into sin issues. He wants you to have a whole and complete life where He pours His love into you. Some of you accepted that years ago. You've walked away from it. Some of you maybe have never accepted Him. And He's reaching His hand down to you. Will you respond to His call? Bow your heads, please. The call to salvation is a simple call. It's one where you pray a prayer and you say, "Here I am, Lord, a sinner. Without You, I know that I'm lost. Without You, I know that I have no hope of eternal life. But with You, all things are possible. With You, I have forgiveness. So I confess my sins to You, dear Lord. And Jesus, I ask that You would come into my life and be my Savior." For some of you, that might be the first time that you pray that prayer, but go ahead and pray that prayer. For others, you may be standing here or sitting here today, and what's going on inside of you is, "Lord, I know I'm not living the life I should. Lord, I know that I am not doing what You want me to do. I'm not being the person You want me to be. I'm not following You the way You want me to. And here I am, Jesus. I come back to You. I come back. Forgive my sins and help me to not continue to follow them. I know I am not perfect, but I want to walk with You, Lord. Renew in me that spirit that was once there. Renew in me that flame that I once had, where I wanted to reach people and I wanted to talk to people and I wanted to share You with people. Fill myself with You, Lord Jesus, because I really do want more of You and less of me. I want to be able to say, Heavenly Father, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to be your child working for you, doing whatever you call me to do. I'm tired of trying to do it myself and going my own way. I failed. And Father, I know today that your arms are wide open and you're calling me in and you're recalling me back to you. And I want to respond to that calling. Father, touch my life. Change my life. Forgive my sins. And let me start fresh. Lord, I need a do-over, even in my walk with you. And so I come. And I open my heart and invite you in. Just lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we have the honor and the opportunity to come to the table of communion. Folks, communion is given for those who believe. It is your opportunity to consecrate yourselves once again to God. And as we come to the table of community, you come having examined yourself before God and looked at your sin before God, sought his forgiveness, and we come in remembrance of the price that was paid for us. You see, Jesus didn't die for himself. He died for you. He didn't shed his blood because he felt like it. He shed his blood because he needed to for you. His body was not broken for himself, but his body was broken for you and for the forgiveness of your sins. And I'll be honest, none of us deserve that. But God loves us. I'm going to ask this morning if our ushers, if the elders would come forward, please. Oh, Barry, would you take the cup and hold it? Jean, would you hold the bread? And this morning, as Sherry plays, I'm going to ask in a moment that you would come forward. And we come to this table not as examples of perfection, for none of us are perfect, but we come as witnesses of grace. We come in remembrance of the love and the self-giving love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that we remember that we're a part of his whole great family, and that is the church of God. I pray that we remember that his blood was shed for all, and that in his name invite everyone who strives to follow him to join in this memorial of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, and they all drank of it. I'm going to ask at this time if you would just come forward and receive the cup and receive the bread. Return to your seats, and we will take part in this together.
As we prepare to take the bread together, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you look down on us from above, and you see our lives. You see the good and you see the bad. And Father, you just pour your love into us, so much so that your Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world and suffered, was hung on a cross, his body broken for the sins of man. And Lord, as we would partake of this bread, I just pray that we would remember that broken body given for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Seated together. And he gave thanks for the cup in remembrance of his blood that was to be shed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our minds we can see the blood flowing down your face, down the face of your Son, the blood dripping from the cross. We understand that it was a cleansing blood, that blood was shed to wash away our sins. We thank you for that, Lord. And now as we would take this cup, we just ask that, Father, we would live our lives as ones worthy of the sacrifice made for us. And we do lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my body, in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. Father, we thank you for the lives that have been touched this week, for those who have given themselves to you and Father, seek to live for you, for those who will continue to make sense out of the message that was given and will come and surrender their life to you. And Father, I pray that through this there would be those there to guide and to direct, and to help each one with growing in you in discipleship. Father, for those in this church and those who've made decisions through this church, we thank you for that. And Father, I pray that this evening we would come back, that we would bring our friends, that we would have a time of serving, a time of joy. But Father, most importantly, we'd have a time of hearing from you. I do just lift this up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you stand with us?